Hello and welcome to another edition of Inside the Burrow, the FAU podcast for and by fans. My name is Dan, joined as usual by Shane and Jack. And today we are going to break down FAU's commanding and dominating win over FIU in the Shula Bowl. And we'll look forward a little bit to this weekend's upcoming game against UMass. So really, I guess to get started, really a great, you know, you love having a dominant win like that, especially against a rival, even though, you know, we often talk about how this is less of a rivalry. But FAU really dominated the game, final score of 38-19, and it really wasn't that close. There was garbage time touchdown late in the game. But real story out of this one was just we really got to see a glimpse of potentially what's to come with Javion Posey. Just a dominant performance by him, certainly a dominant rushing performance by FAU overall. Total rushing yards, I think for FAU was over three, it was 380, I think, somewhere around there. Posey by himself ran for 182, which is easily far and away the most by an FAU quarterback. So that was really exciting to see. You saw how dynamic he is. Certainly he didn't throw the ball very much, but when you're running that much and averaging 10 yards per carry, you don't necessarily need to do that. So, really exciting victory, really exciting to see, in his first collegiate start, what he did, and defense continued to stay dominant. Overall great. Great win, really exciting, and I think there's a lot to look forward to in the future and certainly for the rest of the season. So, Shane, what was your impression of this year's Shula Bowl?
Yeah, it was fun. Obviously, you know, the offense got really old school. I laughed. There was a couple of times where we actually lined up in a double wing. It was probably back to the old school, you know, kind of way of coaching. That's what that offense was. You know, you could just see Posey's instincts are great. He is still extremely raw. Okay. But on that first drive to roll out, look up, find TJ Chase. Okay. Jack, you can remember, you know, I think the defining play for him is the play where there was really no holes. Instead of just kind of running into the back of the offensive line, he waited and made that cut, you know, and got a big gain on that play. So, you know, we could definitely see he is strong. He is fast. I mean, again, we pointed out a few times on here over the summer, the FU strength coach poaches all these numbers of what guys are squatting and running, and Posey's always at the top, one of the just best pure athletes. Now, for the passing game, you know, FIU, the one, I think, rare strength on their team is their secondary. You know, they still have the Dames brothers back there, but, you know, a lot of the throws were late. You know, the one to Willie Wright back in the end zone, you know, that's something with experience. He might see Willie a half second earlier. Willie catches that 5 yards deep and opposed to, you know, going 1 yard over his head. There's a couple throws over the middle, you know. Here's the thing. We know FIU's run defense has been terrible for a long time. We're in, like you pointed out, 380 yards. Eventually, you're going to run into a team where you just can't average 8 yards carry. They're going to stop that, okay, with no threat of it. It won't be this week, but, you know, it'll eventually happen. So that passing game has to grow a little bit. You know, and hopefully we see more stuff like we did on the first play of the drive, the pass to LaJonte Wester. A lot of people have asked about, you know, where's the tight ends? That play, that exact play, faking one way with the and having the slot guy or, you know, tight end come across the formation, that's Harrison Bryant scored on that play countless 70 times in his FAU career. They were just using a different type of personnel for it. Okay. They're just using Wester on, you know, you're swapping a big strong guy for a fast guy. It's the same thing. So, yeah, but we need the passing game to develop like we saw in Driscoll's first season in order for FAU to, you know, take the next step, because a really good team will stop our wing T offense, essentially.
Yeah. First off, you mentioning Wester kind of filling that void of Harrison Bryant, it's at that H-back position that Harrison just dominated so well because he could get so many mismatches against smaller defenders or slower linebackers. So now we have a different style player, Wester, who's a bit faster, who plays a position that we're really – or a role that we're normally used to Willie Wright doing. Just Wester is a bit taller, so it adds that other dynamic to it. That being said, I mean, God, this is exactly how I run my FAU offense on NCAA 14, where I'm just spreading the field out in a shotgun, and I'm going to run it as many times as I can. I'm probably going to throw the ball five times, and I'm just going to use a spread option style rushing attack to destroy you. And that's basically what we did here. We tried to throw it's a little more than what I would normally do in NCAA, but it got the job done. Posey did try to throw it deep a few times, which I like. You know, you got to keep the defense guessing, spread the defense out north and south to avoid them from stacking the box. But just the rushing attack was just deadly. For Posey, he's a magician. His east-west movement reminds me a lot of Motor. His patience, like Shane mentioned, reminds me of a lot of Motor. And we've been hearing this comparison ever since last Friday, where Javion Posey could be FAU's version of Quentin Flowers, the stellar, amazing magician of a quarterback that Willie Taggart had at USF. We call him Q up here in Tampa. He has a lot of the interchangeables, if you will, of Q, except maybe the passing game, as Shane mentioned. That's just going to come with time. I think that should come eventually. He already has the natural football smarts, like you mentioned, of that east-west movement and being patient to find the hole. The play that really stood out to me was the 3rd and 11 on our own 40-yard line, where he saw nothing. So he just took it exactly like Quentin Flowers would. Took it slightly to the left. I mean, he was gone. There wasn't a defender with him by the time he already got the 11 yards for the first down. And then he then trucked the safe, maybe, you know, take the slide and just, you know, avoid any injury. But you got to really like it when a quarterback like Tronte Wood would just lower his shoulder and run somebody over. Because that's a great way to get the rest of the offense hyped. I do want to say one more thing. Tronte has been so mature when it comes to handling all of this. He's Coach Taggart said he's been taking it like a pro. And that's not something you see all the time at this level. It's not something that you don't have to see at this level. Tronte's a redshirt junior, okay? He's ready to play ball now, and he's losing his position to redshirt freshman. But instead of moping around about it, he's handling it the right way. And I really, really think that needs to be admired. So as much as we love talking about Posey, I mean, I even changed my name on Twitter to reflect his, and especially all of us making comparisons to calling him the next Quentin Flowers, I think we do need to give Tronte some respect on how he's been handling all of that.
I think he's as I think Shane mentioned this earlier, he's an average conference USA quarterback, and if he's going to be your backup, that's about as good as you can hope for a backup. I mean, he's somebody who's not going to kind of actively go out and lose you games. He can definitely keep you in the ball game, as we've seen this year. Keep you in the game long enough for defense to make a play, get a short field, and get a touchdown. So, props to him for taking it in stride and not immediately entering the transfer portal.
Yeah, we'll see what the future holds. Speaking of transfer portal, Jean-Baptiste, that the FIU defender, put his name in the transfer portal today. So I guess he's been hurt, but I guess this was the last straw for him. I just want to say something real quick, is that you would normally be a normal Conference USA quarterback, but that's when Conference USA normally has elite quarterbacks. You got to remember that. And that's not the case this year. And I know we've been hitting that drum for so much this year so far, but he's like an Asher O'Hare at Middle Tennessee. Just, I don't know, maybe not as explosive when on the run, when he still has to throw the ball, if that makes sense. Not as big of a playmaker or explosive when it comes to extending plays. Just want to throw that in there.
Yes, everything's there. Yes, he's a redshirt freshman. Chris Robinson struggled as a redshirt freshman, right? And he's an Elite 11 quarterback, right? And I can even argue that team had more talent.
Agreed.
You know, and, you know, so this is obviously, I think, also a great scenario. You didn't have to start the year doing money, you know, playing money games or anything like that. You know, the schedule FAU the rest of the way is favorable. We'll get into UMass a little bit, but he should throw up some video game numbers this week. You know, at Middle Tennessee, a place we've always struggled. You know, but all of a sudden the Georgia Southern game seems they're a good football team. But then after that, Southern Miss, who is just it's rats off a ship there. So and possibly a bowl game. So yeah, he has, you know, FAU can win probably the rest of its games playing that type of game, you know, especially with Malcolm Davidson getting his 10 carries and, you know, 9-10 carries and getting almost 10 yards a carry. I do want to mention this, guys. I do see the feed Malcolm Davidson stuff more. You know, he has been hurt a lot. We know that. So it probably is not – they probably just don't want to give him 25 carries, right? Like, it's just trust me, we'd all love to see him rip off 250 yards. But, you know, I think they just kind of want to build him that and just be kind of a little careful with him so they do have him. You know, James Charles had just as good as a game, average over 7 yards a carry, and James Charles has been, out of all the backs, you know, the most consistent in just being available.
Yeah. And with James, you know that he's consistently give you 2, 3, 4 yards, move the ball forward. And he's just a smart kid, hard worker. Then when you throw in BJ Emmons in there, it's I agree. No need to give Davidson so many carries when he's been banged up a little bit. Shane, you did mention that, you know, we were likely to win out the rest of the season. So before we hop on,
I don't want to say likely. That game at Georgia
Southern will be tough. Is, yeah. No, they're solid.
That's, I mean, they're 6-2. I mean, their only loss is coming to Coastal and someone else pretty good. Excuse me for not forgetting. So, you know, they've only lost to a ranked team and someone else.
But
So, you know, I don't want to get too far ahead. I do actually check. Let me switch back here. I do want to point out, I just talked to this. I put this in my takeaways. Guys, we've talked a ton about the sacks this year. And I mean, I pointed out my takeaways. We're averaging nearly a sack and a half more per game, which is kind of helping us on the – we haven't still haven't created a turnover since the Marshall game. They came close again a couple times. I think they're just going to start coming. I don't think it's anything in defense to do wrong. But Zion Gilbert and Roman Mungin, then Chris Tooley and James Pierre were last year, okay? And those were two – James Pierre's in the NFL and Chris Tooley was – pretty much a four-year starter. So that just goes to show by a full 6% completion, they're allowing a full less 6% completion percentage than those two were last year. So, I mean, that's Zion Gilbert has practically shut down this year. He's been unbelievably good. They allowed zero touchdowns so far.
Oh, via the air. Yeah.
Yes, with those. According to Pro Football Focus, neither of those two.
So, I mean, and that was a big worry is the defense and how many players would be shifting around. And despite them playing really well on Friday, I mean, Coach Leavitt still sounded a bit disappointed because he knows that they could do better, which is something that's crazy to think about. Real quick, I just want to say this because this is going to talk about, you know, the season as a whole and Posey. Just really quickly, guys, if Posey starts at Marshall, is that game a win?
Tough to say. I think if we played Marshall, even if we played Marshall in our fourth or fifth game of the year, I'd say we win. It sucks that it had to be so early on in the season for us.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, again,
it's I don't think the early on the season was the factor there. Missing 25 players. I mean, having four defensive linemen.
I think it's both. I think because the team is still trying to find itself because remember, there was no offseason like Marshall had. And then you throw in all the new players that are just seeing a college football field for the first time. You know what I mean? Or the lack of depth and so on and so forth. I think it's just a discussion piece because we're going to see Marshall. Their game against Charlotte just got canceled. So that means all they have left is Reichel and FIU, which means we're not catching up to Marshall, guys. I mean, we kind of knew that was going to happen anyways, but now it's all but official. So we just have to think. If Posey was playing up in Huntington, is that game a different story? Because you still got to like how we played with how shorthanded we we were. You know, all of us in Owl Nation can think about.
FAU by 17.
If we're fully healthy,
there's your
if we're fully healthy and, yeah. and we had maybe a couple games in, under our belt and Posey starts, or Posey put in the same type of play that he put in against FIU, then I'm right with you. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, and FAU, I don't necessarily believe we broke the record for most consecutive quarters without a touchdown because FIU didn't score in the first quarter. Then they had the one long touchdown, that one long run. And, again, it's there's a lot to look forward to. And I think a lot to be excited about, especially even in this, you know, condensed season where early on we were pretty concerned about basically every position. We're starting to see that FAU certainly does have some depth, and you know, hopefully Coach Taggart's leading us in the right direction. So it's always good to come back to Boca with the Shula Bowl, and always great to have that win. So I guess we can kind of touch a little bit on this week's opponent, University of Massachusetts. And they're having a rough go of it this year. They're 0-2, 0-3. I think they're 0-2. They got waxed by Georgia Southern, I believe. Yeah, Georgia Southern, 41-0, and they lost to Marshall 51-10 two weekends ago. So, yeah, again, it's really challenging. They're an independent this year, and they're very, very late to the game. These games were added, you know, about midway through the season. We're very fortunate to pick one up, which is great. But like Shane mentioned earlier, there should be some video game numbers this weekend, hopefully. And strangely enough, I just realized this today reading a bit of the preview. This is FAU's final home game, which certainly just kind of popped up on us and shouldn't be surprised. But yeah, it is. So I don't know. It should be a fun game and a good senior night for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I guess there's a little connection. Walt Bell, the head coach for UMass, was Willie Taggart's offensive coordinator his first year at Florida State. So, you know, there's a little connection there. I mean, this was a game, and I do like it. I don't know the full financials of it, but I do like FAU just trying to add a home game, add a game for their players to go and show out. Really would have been weird if our home schedule ended on Halloween and they were forced to go on the road for 2 months. So yeah, like, you know, they've lost two games by 41, but you know, this is a chance to keep playing, hope, you know, young guys, and you know, do things. This is a game where you got to expand Posey a little bit and, you know, have them trying to air it out, you know, test them, push them a little bit. And, you know, let's go for a shutout.
Yeah, yeah, this is one of those things where you just kind of put your foot on their throat and you don't let up. I think it would be great for the drama and for the tweets that if we score more on UMass and Marshall does, and we kind of keep that going a la, I think, 2014 when Brian Wright came in and won four straight games. If you guys remember that after the Carl Pelini saga, and FAU just kind of blew everyone out from that moment forward, kind of just create that discussion just so we can have some drama with Marshall fans saying that, you know, hey, if we had Posey, this would be different. Something I want to note that you're right, guys, it is senior day. So Leighton McCarthy, James Charles, Carell Smith, Jordan Helm, who's played lights out this year, hasn't been getting enough mention. Willie Wright as well is a senior. You know, this is our last chance to really see them off. Hopefully, I would love it for Willie to grab a couple scores so he can throw us the shrug in the end zone. There's not really much to say, guys. UMass is bad. UMass is doing these kinds of games just so they can make some money this year. They don't have a single home game. You guys mentioned it. They're only playing four games this year. It's tough for a school like them to be an independent when they don't have the financial backing that a UConn or a Liberty or BYU might as an independent. So, you know, a little gentleman's agreement, we should put video game numbers up on them, but I wouldn't be too upset if we don't, because part of me does feel bad for that program and for those student athletes. You know, it's not in Willie Taggart's DNA to let up, as we saw in the Shula Bowl on fourth down on the goal line. So
I love that call. I pointed I loved that call. I pointed out in the Shula Bowl podcast, the difference between Willie Taggart, but 17, fourth and two, we went for it. We went for the kill, and they were down two touchdowns with 11 minutes and change to go, or maybe it was a little bit more time than that.
And they go for a field goal.
And they decided to kick a field goal to take a two-score game down to a two-score game, which just, I mean, I've done the math. I laid out every scenario, and that's always the type of stuff that bothers me with coaches. That's when I get red hot on coaches, and you can't manage simple analytics because actually, let me just say this in case FAU is ever in this situation. They decide to kick a field goal. In that scenario, you're down 14. You kick a field goal to down 11. Hypothetically, you need a field goal, a touchdown, and a two-point conversion. Let's say you stop the team. They kick. You go back, kick a field goal. You come back, score a touchdown. Now, guess what? You're in a scenario where you need to convert a two-point conversion from the three-yard line, which is right where FIU was anyways, to convert the fourth down. It's literally, you're just, I don't get.
Yeah, that was like, I mean, I had very strong feelings that we were going to win. But after that, it was like, all right, this game's over after we did that. Always great to celebrate a Shula Bowl win. I don't even know what FAU's 12-4 now in the Shula Bowl. Is that what I saw?
14.
14.
14 and 14 and 4,
because we're not counting that FIU.
Yeah, I know. I mean, officially, unofficially, in 19 years, we've won 14 games. So you can.
It's always great to celebrate that. And again, we always appreciate you being with us. Make sure you're checking out the Game Week thread over at FAUOwlsNest.com. Checking everybody out on Twitter, and make sure you can find this podcast on the FAU Owls Nest YouTube page, certainly on the site, iTunes, Spotify, Google, and everything else like that. So we appreciate you joining us, and we appreciate you joining us, and we will see you next week. Go Owls!